SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we start hour number two of Coast to Coast on a Terrible Towel Tuesday with Carver High and Ferrell here. Don't forget to get the Sports Grid app. It's on iOS and Android. It's free. Follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. You can get everything, stories, highlights, in-game odds, everything. Plus, you can watch the network, listen to the network right on the app, the Sports Grid app. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Also, check us out on X at SportsGrid-Live, and you're good to go. All right, Nick Sirianni apologizing. You know they made him do that. You know that Howie made him do that, or Lurie.
Oh, yeah.
Because you start challenging fans in Philadelphia, your days are numbered.
He also probably couldn't get asked the appropriate questions because he had his entire family at the podium with him.
Right.
So people didn't really want to press him a little bit harder on the fact that he was drawing with the fans. So, of course, it was go to the podium day for Nick Sirianni. He had to, of course, give back and say sorry for getting into it with all of the Eagle fans on the sideline at the end of the game.
I was trying to bring energy yesterday, enthusiasm yesterday. And I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And, you know, my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, you know, that's, you know, and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy. And that wasn't the time.
Yeah, they made him say that. They made him say that because he's a tool, and he went after fans, and it's too late. Once you do it, it's too late. Here's a newsflash for you there, shaved head. They hate you already. It's too late. There's no turning back. They hate you. So every single time he loses, it's only going to get worse. They will never accept his apology. Eagles and Philly fans don't need apologies. They don't like you already. They hate you. Last year, when you melted like an ice cream cone, they were done with you. I cannot believe that guy survived that meltdown of a season, and they brought him back. And this is exactly what they asked for. They're getting it right now. And they are not a good football team. They're average, too. I don't know what the deal is with them, but there's something wrong with them for sure. And it might very well just be him.
It might very well be him, and I'm with you. There's no getting back in the good. There's only one thing that gets you back in the good graces with the fans, and that's winning the entire thing. It's not going to be winning 11 games or
right.
winning a division or a couple playoff games. If you don't win the Super Bowl now, they're gonna
going to
want you chopped. And when you don't, they're going to blame you for being the reason why they didn't win. And now you have even more, a little extra hoopla with them this week because you're going to have Saquon Barkley returning to the Meadowlands as we have Eagles-Giants this week at MetLife. Giants on the other side, of course, have been looking for some more explosive plays with Malik Nabers out of the lineup. Brian Daboll says we need to start dialing some of those up.
Our inability, I would say this game, and to generate explosive plays, whether that's through the run or through the air.
What running game?
Is not where I want it to be right now.
What?
So we'll keep doing it. Keep calling them. And you know, we've just got to keep on improving in that area.
What is happening here? Listen, honestly, they don't even complete a 20-yard play. And they haven't run for one the whole year. They have neither. I mean, they have none of it. They don't have passing. They don't have running. They don't have any. They are as boring as an offense as Pittsburgh, as Cleveland. I mean, let's face facts. All of the Steelers plays that were big were miracles. He got out of trouble and ran, and he got out of trouble and threw a rope to Pickens. Pickens made a great catch. He threw one to him on a bomb into the corner by the end zone. He made that catch coming back. The Giants don't have any big playability. without neighbors. They have nothing. And then the Browns, their season's over.
Their season is over. I think when Neighbors was in there, they had some. I think that Neighbors does bring you some of that, and hopefully they can get him back in.
They are anemic. They're worse than the Jets. The Jets the guy threw a Hail Mary and it worked. They make plays, the Jets. Even a game that he threw 54 times, you can say whatever you want. The guy never stops slinging it. He reminds me of Ken Stabler. He just keeps throwing it. He doesn't care if they're winning, losing. He just keeps going the whole game. I've always said that back door is always open with a great quarterback. You cannot get rid of guys that can play four quarters and throw the ball. And Danny Dimes ain't one of them. I don't know what it is about him. You know, one week we'll be like, oh, yeah, he had a better quarterback rating than Aaron Rodgers. It's not that hard to do anymore when Aaron Rodgers is the oldest guy in the league, okay? But Danny Dimes, we got to stop with Danny Dimes. I mean, that is the worst nickname I've ever heard in my life for a guy that doesn't throw dimes. We need him just to be Daniel Jones, the guy that went to Duke that has never amounted to a hill of beans.
Eagles are 3-point favorites at the Giants on Sunday. 43.5 is the total. Of course, as the week goes on, I'm sure we'll hear more about Barkley and his return to see the Giants.
I think the Eagles can beat the Giants. They got better players. It's that simple. Brown, Smith, Barkley, Hurts. You can't deny it. What do the Giants have? They have garbage. They have nothing. Burns is a good player. I'll give you that. And that's it. It ends right there. It ends right there.
We know, other than beating them last year, that last game of the year when the Eagles were pretty checked out, Giants have had a lot of problems.
The Eagles were finished. Did they lose six in their last seven, right?
Correct.
It was over after the third game. You lose three in a row, four in a row, it's over. The season's over. You lose for a month straight, the season's over.
Snowball starts getting bigger as it rolls down the hill.
You cannot lose a month straight of games in any month in the NFL season and have a good season, no matter who you are. If you lose four games in a row over 1 month, it does not matter what team you are finished in the NFL. You cannot lose four in a row and recover from it.
Not easy.
In the NFL, lose four in a row?
No.
It doesn't happen.
You mentioned the Browns, how bad they are. Kevin Stefanski, he claims it's his decision. A lot of people in Cleveland are not so sure about that.
Here we go.
He was asked if Haslam is forcing him to play Deshaun Watson, and he said no. Of course, he's not going to throw the owner under the bus. But Stefanski does continue to go with this narrative that Watson does give him the best chance to win.
Why not try Jameis as a potential spark that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think it's just important that we continue
to lose,
do everything we can to play good, sound football. I think there were moments of that, obviously, yesterday. I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win, continues to give us the best chance to win, and we need to play really good offensive football at his position and really at every position to be successful on Sunday.
Listen, and I mean this literally in all due respect, in total respect. You know the deaf school in college football that wins national titles? They could beat the Browns. I mean it. He said we're playing sound football. How about no sound? Let's play the college team that the whole team's deaf. They'll beat you too because they're better than you and they're more organized. The Browns are the worst team in the league right now. The Carolina and the Browns. They are.
And then now today they just lost their best offensive weapon with Cooper going to Buffalo, so they won't have him out there either. The Bengals are 6.5-point favorites.
Next thing you know, Miles Garrett's going to want to be traded.
The Battle of Ohio this week. Yes. Bengals, 6.5 in Cleveland. They are favored.
Oh, I think the Bengals will win in Cleveland.
Big number.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My My dude, Cody Decker from Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM, always joins us to talk baseball. And he just told me he was born the year I graduated college at Indiana University in the Big Ten. I graduated the year he came out of his mother's womb. That's yep. how old I am. Oh, my God. What a slap in the face that was. He doesn't remember the 78 World Series because he wasn't alive. Meanwhile, I was, and it was really the Shaq. I mean, honestly, no kidding aside, no bull Shaq. I think the 78 World Series with the Dodgers and Yankees is as good as it gets. And if it happens again, Cody, I'm all for it. Like, either way, like a Subway Series, we've already seen that here in New York in 2000. Yeah. I'm cool with that. I think that Yankee team was a lot better than the Mets in 2000. They were at the end of their dynasty. And I think that this Mets team, in my opinion, Cody, they're better than the Yankees. They are. And they kicked their ass this year in a Subway Series.
They did. And you can't lie about the Mets momentum, man. It is legit. I came on this show with you recently talking about how the Mets are primed for the future. And the only narrative that I don't like right now surrounding the Mets is like, oh, dude, this Cinderella team. Can you believe these Cinderellas showing up out of nowhere? Guys, the Mets have the highest payroll in baseball right now, more than the Dodgers, more than the Yankees, more than the Phillies, more than the Astros. They're not a Cinderella story, but they are a damn good baseball team. And yeah, if we get a Subway series, I'm all for it. But, you know, as a kid that grew up in L.A., hearing the tales of the Dodgers versus the Yankees, in my lifetime, we've never gotten a Dodger-Yankee World Series. There were three in the decade right before I was alive. Give me a Dodger-Yankee World Series. I was trained by Reggie Smith as a kid all the way up into my pro career. He used to tell me all these war stories between Dodgers and Yankees. I want to see it, and I hope we get it. But if we get a Yankee-Met World Series, I'm all for it. Hell, the Cleveland Guardians, to me, are practically must-watch TV. Right now, we're in a situation where there will not be a single World Series matchup that I will not be tuned into.
Yeah, I mean, listen, back then, you know, Garvey, Say, Dusty Baker, it went on and on with great players. And now these teams are, like, on a collision course. Like, either way, like, I was shocked when, you know, when I saw the Mets win in Atlanta the way they did on the Lindor home run. Then we saw the Alonso home run in Milwaukee in the ninth inning with one out. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. Then we see them get their ass beat in game one. They were literally sleepwalking, 9-0. And then they turn around and smack them. They're up 6, and they win. Now they're home for 3, and they have been the best team in baseball, better than the Dodgers, better than the Phillies, better than the Yankees, better than the Astros, better than the Guardians, better than the Tigers, Royals. They have been the best team in baseball since June 1st. That's all there is to it.
Period. Period. Stop. They just have been, and they're fun to watch. And this new version of Sean Manaea we're seeing right now, where he's just taking pages out of Chris Sale's book, dominating that game against the Dodgers, not to mention dominating the Brewers right before that. The only thing that's interesting is we talked about it on my show. We're like, can this Mets team win game two? Because if they didn't, to me, it was all she wrote. They were not coming back to LA. This was going to be a 5-game series. And I thought wholeheartedly that the Mets were going to drop yesterday's game until 6 pitches into Francisco Lindor's first at bat. That was an elite at bat that ended up 9 pitches with a home run. This team is resilient. They are good. And quite frankly, you put them in a chaos spot, they're amazing. And what I mean by that is they played, 15 straight games? They had to play 16 games in that span just to make the dance, let alone continue to play throughout the dance. You give them a day off to go play the Dodgers, they show up asleep. The Dodgers beat their ass. You show up at literally 12 hours later for a quick turnaround in the next game, they beat the Dodgers' ass. As long as you make it hard for the Mets will win.
Yeah, I think Quintana's been great, and yeah. I know Diaz gets people's heart racing, but when he struck out Schwarbaum with 101 gas, a BB, that was, and he was lit too. He was just like, don't touch me. He was like, I'm not jumping up and down. Don't touch me. He was just lit. I think they got really exciting, lit guys that want to win, and I've hated them my whole life, but I don't hate this team. I just pretend that they're not the Mets. I just pretend like they're a really good team that's fun to watch. Like you said, how fun they are to watch.
Dude, they are a blast to watch. And we had you know, Howie Rose on the show last week, and I asked him, what's the difference between this Mets team to other Mets teams? Hell, what's the difference in Brandon Nimmo right now compared to the guy that I played with, Brandon Nimmo, in 2017? And he described this Mets team as like, dude, you go in that locker room, you look around, there's no cliques. I've been in a lot of big league locker rooms. When I say there are cliques is an understatement. It's this section over here, this section of four guys,
right,
the Latin guys over there, the college guys over here. And it's right. Just a direct, it's just completely separated group. They said in that locker room, it's everybody is together. You got Alonso playing dominoes with Lindor, who's playing dominoes with Diaz, who's playing playing an indoor basketball game over there with McNeil. It's just a tight knit group of dudes. And watching guys like Nimmo, I mean, dude, if you didn't watch Nimmo after that division series where he's at second base by himself, kind of separating, kind of taking it all in, this right. is a guy that was drafted first round in 2011. This is a guy who was left off the playoff roster in 15, 16, struggling in AAA with me in 17, all the way to this all-star in a multi-year deal, and now just a heartbeat away from the World Series, and the crowd chanting Nimmo over and over again. Dude, there's something legitimately special brewing in Queens, and it ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
They're like the 86 Mets. They can win it all. And I will say this, and I said this on the show before, I want to say it to you. I think Howie has been absolutely Pharrell and phenomenal calling the games. He has been the best play-by-play guy in baseball over the last month, the most exciting calls imaginable. I got 1 minute. Tonight, Garrett Cole against Bibby. What do you think happens in the boogie down?
Dude, listen, I love me some Garrett Cole. He's my college teammate. I love G. Cole. But here's the thing. There is one team that I do not love this matchup for, and it's the Guardians. The Guardians are pests, man. They get on base. They don't strike out, and Garrett Cole's a swing-and-miss guy. If they get on base, I wouldn't be shocked if this is a 2-1 affair tonight, because Tanner Bibee on the other end, hell of a pitcher himself. This is going to be – it's going to come down to one swing tonight, and we'll see which team makes that swing.
How cool was Cole as a roommate? Was he a cool dude?
Loved him. Loved him. He was 17 years old. Looked you right in the face, say, I'm the best pitcher in the world. And he went on the mound and proved it every day. Ridiculous.
Yeah, you're way better than him on the air, I got to say.
Yeah, I am.
Cody, always a pleasure, dude. Enjoy the games. We'll talk again for sure, either at the end of the LCSs or in the World Series.
Anytime, my man, just give me a call and I'll be here for you.
Cody Decker, Mad Dog Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, let's talk Lions. Dan Campbell, is he serious? He thinks they can still win it all without Hutchinson.
Well, yes. As we know, Aiden Hutchinson with the unfortunate injury on Sunday in Dallas. Now they will go the rest of the way without him. Here is Coach Campbell yesterday. Still believes the defense is good enough along with his very strong offense.
Listen, my job is to coach what's here, and I'm going to coach the hell out of them, and we are as a staff. And so, yeah, I do. And if we get somebody, great. If we don't, these are our guys, and the coaches know that. This is what we came into camp with. This is why we develop talent, and this next man up, they got to be ready to go.
Now, well, listen, you tell me.
Well, I was going to say this to you, too, and I'll tie this story into it as well. There was a report this morning with the Reddick stuff that the Jets have told Rosenhaus, if you want to explore a trade, we would now be open to that. Lions lose Hutchinson. They could use a pass rusher. Maybe Reddick could find him. Maybe that would be a good fit for him.
Great call.
Going to the Lions and slide in there.
Great call. Just do the deal. They need him. The Jets obviously don't want to pay him, and he doesn't want to play for the Jets. I don't think that guy is cutting a deal with the Jets. Now, yesterday I said that with Drew Rosenhaus, they'll get a deal done. And I didn't say where. I just said they'll get a deal done because Drew gets deals done. And, you know, I don't know who's doing the deals at CAA, to be honest with you, in sports. I've already dealt with them in my career, William Morris, all these people. They're talent agents, in my opinion. I know they do sports. Slow down. I'm not saying you're not good at it. I'm saying, like, they do movie stars, okay? That's what they're best at. And so Drew Rosenhaus is a pure NFL agent. That's what, you know, as you know, I have several friends that are agents, and the ones that just do specific sports, NFL, that's what it's, you know, all about. And I think Drew's really good at it. I think it makes sense to trade him to the Lions. This guy is not playing football this year. He's got a rod in his leg. He shattered his tibia and fibula. He broke both. He's finished. He may never be the same again. Now, people will say, oh, he's young, and he'll, you know, he'll heal in 8 weeks. The bone will heal in 8 weeks. I'm telling you, you break your leg like he did. Now, look, do you remember when, what was it, Paul George did it, right? He shattered his leg and broke his leg. And he's come back, and he's a good player. He's still a good player. But he gets injured, right? So I don't know what Hutchinson will be like down the road after shattering his leg. His leg was just literally cracked in half, his entire leg. He broke it in two places. They put a rod in there. He's not playing football for a year, guaranteed.
Now, there is one caveat to potentially a deal with the Lions or someone else in the NFC. The Jets would have to give the Eagles a second-round pick if they trade him to an NFC team. So that is probably going to be a sticking point with them moving forward. Now, you sweeten the pot, you give them some stuff back, whatever the deal is. Maybe you recoup that second rounder in a potential trade, who knows, but that would be something to watch as well.
So the Jets would have to give the Eagles, because of the Reddick, they would have to give the Eagles the pick, and that will be unappealing to the Jets.
Correct. That was part of the stipulations
of
the
trade. They don't want to get rid of ever.
No, they do not. So that's a big sticking point.
They gave the Raiders a third, and they picked up his salary. That's why they did the deal with the Jets, because Mark Davis did not want to pay one penny to Devontae Adams for saying, I want to be a Raider, and I want to play with Carr. And he went to Las Vegas, and they paid him $1 million a game. And then when they got rid of Carr, they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him. So he was, you know, the minute that they didn't want to pay him that money and his quarterback was gone and he wanted out of Vegas, they didn't want him there at all. And Pierce was lying. And Mark Davis never does interviews. He never talks about any football ever publicly. Never. When do you see him talk? I've seen him with 15 hookers at a bar, but I've never seen him talk about the NFL.
There is a lot
documented. You can quote me on that. I was there. I saw what I saw.
There are a lot of big games this week, but the Lions at the Vikings, 4-1 Lions at 5-0 Vikings in the NFC North. First meeting between these two this year. Vikings minus 2.5. I know we'll talk about this a lot this week. That is a heavy hitter game on Sunday.
That's a great game, and I think that's the Vikings' first loss.
I think so, too. I think the Lions are going to beat them in Minnesota, give them their first loss.
I think the Lions are flat out better than the Vikings.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, here we go with another guy that makes bizarre decisions. Shane Steichen, right, of the Colts. Like, honestly, don't get me started on Richardson or Flacco. I get he's young and super talented, super athletic and everything else. Fantastic skill, all the rest. Flacco's better.
Yeah, look, Flacco got the Colts to, 3-3 this past week. He beat the Steelers. He almost beat the Jaguars that game with the comeback when Richardson got hurt again.
He should have won that game. He deserved to win that game.
Then he beat the Titans on the road on Sunday. So he's played well the last few weeks. But Anthony Richardson, according to Steichen, is finally healthy. And listen, it is what it is. He's going to start on Sunday.
Want to make sure he's 100%. That's really what went into the decision. He's really close. He's really close. That's why we had him as our third, you know, emergency quarterback. But he should be, you know, looking really good this week. Obviously, Flacco's a really good player, been playing good ball for us. But when Anthony's healthy, he's our quarterback.
He sounded like he was on the toilet. Like, what was that? I don't know what he said. I have no idea what he said. All I know is I don't care. Flacco is the reason they win. He is unbelievable. You know what Flacco reminds me of? NFL Films old highlights of great quarterbacks that could throw dimes, like Terry Bradshaw. You remember the passes that Terry Bradshaw used to throw to Stallworth and Swan? These beautiful dimes out of the sky in the, you know, the super slow-mo NFL Films with, you know, and the autumn winds. And they'd show the ball coming out of the sky in a perfect spiral. It's whipping around 100 miles an hour into the guy's hands like a breadbasket. Joe Flacco throws passes just like that. Anthony Richardson throws, you know, ducks.
He does. He throws ducks. He's a little. He obviously could move around a lot better than Flacco, but
I don't care. Flacco, he gets injured too much, too, on top of that.
Always hurt. The Colts this week are home to face the Dolphins, who are coming off of a bye. Colts minus 3, 44.5 here early in the week. I did see McDaniel yesterday talking about Tua, saying he does expect him to come back this year, just does not know when that is going to be. So we'll be doing that again. The story that you hear every week.
And have another concussion. That's what no one likes. No one likes to bring it up except I do, because it's inevitable. It's inevitable. The bet should not be on the game. It should be a bet on, they should have it on all the sports books. How many games will he last before he has another concussion? There should be an over-under on games played for him without a concussion, because he's not going to last, okay? So here's the other thing. That team is, you know, I know they beat the Patriots or whatever, but they have talent. They have guys that can flat-out play football. They've had bad luck with Achan and, right, like, they've had Mostert, all these guys, you know, with injuries. But the reality is they have great receivers. They have talented backs. They don't have a quarterback unless he plays, and then when he plays, he won't last. So they're a problem, in my view, with betting. Like, they get in the way of bets. I think the Colts are better than them, but I don't trust the Colts with Richardson against that team, because that team can cover bets with their talent. They have talent. They do have talent. To me, the Dolphins were a playoff team that lost their star quarterback, and it ruined their season. But they're still scheduled to play every Sunday. They play football games, so they have to go out and play. And they get in the way of betting. They do, because they're decent. They have talent. They can cover. They can win. They can win games pounding the rock. And somebody's got to be able to, like, I cannot believe that Snoopy, or whatever they call him, can't throw some passes. Is that his name, Snoopy? What do they call him?
Snoop Huntley. Yeah, Snoop Huntley.
Snoop. There's only one Snoop.
I honestly believe
with him the other day, you and I. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Like that slot machine. I have never played a slot machine where you actually saw a guy smoking 400-pound doobies every time I won money. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I think that off of a long, you know, time for McDaniel and Huntley to get together, I think you'll probably see him a little bit more involved in the offense, throwing the football this week in that game against the Colts.
Do you think the Dolphins could upset the Colts in a Lucas Oil?
Yes, I don't think the Colts are that good. So I think it absolutely could happen. That's for sure. Week 7 will start on Thursday night in New Orleans with the Broncos and the Saints. Of course, the storyline here is Sean Payton returning to Bourbon Street for the first time since he was the Saints coach for a very long time. There are several players who are still on the roster from back when Payton was there. One of them, a longtime defensive standout, Cameron Jordan. He knows what Payton is going to bring to the Dome on Thursday night.
Yeah, he's going to be fired up. I mean, everybody in this building knows who Sean Payton is. And, you know, if he sees blood in the water, he's going to go try and take advantage. And that's always been his MO. So
that's what we know.
We're not helping deter that at this point with the last game that we just put on.
They got bowled by Baker Mayfield. I'll tell you this much. You know, after that beating at home, I got a hard time believing they're losing two in a row at home. And I think the Broncos offense is terrible. I think their defense is good, but the Chargers didn't have any problem at all beating them. And they were, you know, allegedly the second best defense in the NFL, you know, in every category. But the Chargers did whatever they wanted to them all day long, like the four horsemen. So I think Denver goes there and lays an egg against the Saints on Thursday night. The Saints, what are they going to lose every game they play at home? What are they, the Cowboys? I mean, I think the Saints get it done. Is Carr playing? I mean, what's the deal?
No, it doesn't sound like he is. They said he was going to miss, you know, at least 3 weeks somewhere around there. So I don't. He's not playing.
Supposed to be a badass or something, and you know, he plays through anything.
Looks like it'll be Rattler again, and the Broncos are favored, which also tells you it's going to be Rattler again. -2.5 for the Broncos, 36.5, very low total, of course, with, like you said, a Bronco offense that stinks, but their defense is very good.
Yeah, I'm not buying the under. I'm really not. I just saw them, there was like, what was it, 23-16? Was that the score? That went over.
Yeah.
And what was the Saints game? 90?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the Saints and Broncos will go over the number, and I think Spencer Rattler and the Saints win the game.
As I always say, I prefer that the primetime games have a lot of points.
Let's get wild as opposed to
10-7, like we had with the Giants and the Bengals.
Because the broadcast is so bad.
Yes. That's also a factor in our Thursday night viewing.
They got like 14 people on their pregame and halftime show. There's so many people on it. I don't know who's the producer and who's talent.
Large crew they have.
I really don't.
Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson lead the NFL in yards per carry. They lead everything in rushing, the Ravens so far. Lamar passed Cam Newton for the second most rushing yards by a quarterback ever. And he's only just under 500 yards behind Michael Vick for the most ever. And I think I saw he's played like 50 less games than all of them, like Vick and Newton, both in like the 140s, 150s. He's at like 90.
He's better than both of them.
You know what? I don't disagree with that.
What?
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. Yeah, he's better than
time,
both of them.
This is his time. And he is the most, in my opinion, exciting player in the NFL. He does more. Now, I don't deny that Mahomes wins all the rings. I'm not stupid. But I think the most exciting player, so I don't think Mahomes does what Lamar Jackson does. I think Mahomes, you know, wins titles and has great players that are around him and a great coach and a great offensive scheme and a great running game and passing game and defense with Spags. I think Lamar Jackson is the entire team. Like, literally, he's the reason the Ravens win by himself.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I know you got some straggler NFL stories.
I do have some straggler NFL stories before we start to get into all of the baseball. Another big night ahead, especially here in the New York area with the Bronx Bombers. Mario Edwards of the Texans, 4-game suspension, substance abuse violation. Finished. Send him out. Done. Washington defensive tackle Jonathan Allen, done for the season. Pec tear. Gotta go. Finished. Jim Harbaugh will wear a heart monitor.
Who doesn't?
Going forward. So, I guess, listen, that was a scary situation with Jimmy. He did come back on the sideline, but he's going to wear that heart monitor now to make sure things are going okay with him out there in Los Angeles. And I know we've done a lot of trades today in the NFL, big trades with Adams and with Cooper, but there was also another trade, smaller scale. The Jaguars trade defensive tackle Roy Robertson Harris to Seattle for a 6th-round pick, as Seattle needs help along the defensive line moving forward.
They
so there you go.
That.
They probably do need more than that with how they've played the past few weeks. They do need more than that, the Seattle Seahawks. So there you go, NFL for you today. Got to have it. Let's get into the baseball now because we do have a game two in the ALCS tonight. Yankees and the Guardians in the boogie down. Last night, game number one, Yankees getting involved. 5-2, they take it. Tremendous performance from Carlos Rodon. They got an early home run from Juan Soto. Guardians then threw, 4 or 5 wild pitches that allowed the Yankees to run around the bases and get some more runs. And then you had the put-away shot late from Giancarlo Stanton on WFAN in New York.
Now the 0-1 is hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. Oh, it is gone. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo. Non si può scoparlo. Oh, Stanton, who is a terrific postseason player, bangs out another one, and the Yankees have a 5-1 lead.
Well, there you have it. The old man calling another Giancarlo home run. Look, this guy Stanton is, I mean, he's postseason money. He's already passed Reggie Jackson. He sailed past him in the Royals series. And now he's just like, he's putting up numbers that are, you know, ungodly. Like, it's just crazy what this guy is doing. I pray to God that he makes it from now through the World Series, if they get to the World Series, which they have to. They have to beat this team. Now, yesterday, Scoop Mitch told me that the Guardians are going to win the series. They're the better team. And I just know that I come from the other side of the river, which says they have to beat this team. You cannot not go to the World Series because you lost to the Cleveland Guardians. Honestly, I don't care what anybody says. So that guy, if he can stay healthy, because his legs are like peanut brittle. I mean, a guy walks down the street. He's going to get injured going to the bathroom at night from the bed to the toilet. Like, that's how bad his legs are. So I worry about him being able to play every game over, you know, what could amount to 13 more games if they both went 7, right? Like, so let's just face facts. He is their best player in the postseason, hands down. It is amazing to me what Stanton has done and what Judge has done nothing. Aaron Judge, he had a sack fly or something. Christ, I almost fell over. Like, he has been utterly embarrassing in the postseason, Judge. Every time he comes to the plate, it's an automatic out.
It has. And look, we've certainly, the playoffs are what? The Yankees have been in for a week, week and a half. We've done a lot more Stanton highlights in post games than we have Aaron Judge. That's for sure. Stanton's been the guy that has absolutely been getting it done. We're going to hear from him in a moment. First, here's Boone. Those early at-bats where they were just grinding Cobb down, and Cobb, by the way, lower back strain for the Guardians. He's finished. They replaced him on the roster with Ben Lively today. And, man, I hope the Yankees get to see Ben Lively at some point. That would mean things would be outstanding for them because he loves giving up the long ball. Here's Boone on the early at-bats against Cobb that really extended the game and got it huge.
Yeah, I thought, we had really good at-bats. We pressured them early and didn't score those first two innings where we had, four base runners, five base runners. So we were able to pressure Cobb a lot. He did a good job of holding us down. Finally, Juan breaks through, and then we kept the pressure on where, I thought we took a lot of good at-bats. Didn't necessarily have that big hit again to make it a huge offensive night for us, but I thought a lot of heavy at-bats again that kind of set us up and put Carlos in a good position.
Well, you got Stanton too, right? Like, I see that you're afraid to play the clip from the Bleacher Creatures that I sent you.
Yeah, I don't know what the protocol is there in terms of what you're allowed to play from inside the stadium. I didn't want to get involved in any legal ramifications here, so I wasn't going to play, especially if there was any. They were. They always go nuts out there. I don't think it's the same as back in the old place.
I wanted you to, for my end, this was about Soto. How in God's name can you play for the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx in October for a pennant and then, like, go play for the Mets or go play for some other team? You got to be half drunk. You got to be nuts to leave the New York Yankees. That crowd is so lit. I mean, they hit one home run. The guy hits a home run. You would have thought he was Boone hitting that home run against the Red Sox back in the day. Like, that place is so lit for Yankee playoff games. There's no place like it. No place even close.
Yeah, I've seen some of these baseball types, these insider guys, say things like, oh, if the Mets make the World Series, they're going to sign Soto because Cohen's going to be so jacked up from the run that he'll give him whatever he wants. And he'll get Soto. If the Yankees win the World Series, Soto's not leaving. He's not. I don't think he's going to leave at this point anyway. But I don't think he's not going to go across town to the Mets. But we got a long way to go here. We'll come back and hear from
Stanton.
I can't
have that happen. It's just not good for my health. I will. That is not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what is Stanton saying about the Yankee situation right now?
Yes, of course, here is Giancarlo after another big postseason home run. And I love this guy. Like, he's always got to come to the podium with these tank tops on. Like, bro, well, I mean, it's October. Everyone else is coming up there in the sweatshirts. Your boy Stanton's got to be like, no, it's always the gun show, even in October. We still got to win three more games, he says.
Getting the start off wins big. It's a message in its own, but there's still three to get. So we know this is good, but in our eyes, we haven't done nothing yet. We got to win three out of six, and you know, we take that as three out of three.
Let's go. I love this guy. I mean, honestly, I don't care if he ever plays in April to end of September. This guy is money in the postseason. He's absolutely their best player. It's crazy.
13 homers, 5 doubles, and 32 playoff games now with the Yankees. It seems like every game we just add more to it because he's just constantly getting it done. It is amazing. Also, Luke Weaver, and you sent me some of these numbers with him. He, of course, third game in the postseason already, more than one inning save for Weaver last night. Of course, he got 5 outs. He's gone 17 innings in his last 13 appearances. 0.00 ERA,
Luda.
33 Ks, 287 opponent OPS. That's how good Weaver has been, Scotty, for the Yankees. He has been a find there in the back of that pen for them here to close these games out.
I mean, he literally is their version of Mariano Rivera now. This guy's going out and just absolutely getting 4 and 5 out saves. He's just been surreal, and he's the size of a toothpick. He weighs 100 pounds. I don't know what's going on there, but I want more of it.
Weaver's the third pitcher with 3 saves of more than 3 outs in his team's first 5 games of a playoff. Mariano Rivera, Goose Gossage, Luke Weaver, all 3 of them Yankees that's ever been done. So that's some...
Think about that for a minute. Now, look at that. Like, let's just say that again. Mariano Rivera, Goose Gossage, mic drop. Honestly here, folks.
Yeah, those are some big time numbers. That's for sure. As far as tonight goes, it will be Gerrit Cole for the Yankees to try to put them up 2-0. In this series, heading to Cleveland, Tanner Bibby will go for the Guardians. As of right now, -165 for the Yankees, +140 for Cleveland. 6.5 the total here tonight.
I really feel like this is an opportunity for them with their ace on the mound to put themselves in a position to not go to Cleveland and F this up. They're going to play 3 games in Cleveland, and they could F this up nice and juicy. So they have to win this game tonight with Cole pitching. And, you know, this kid for Cleveland's tough. He's got a 2.08 ERA. So I think you're right about the under. And I got to have the Yankees win this game for my health, for health reasons, for my heart monitor. I can't have it. I can't have anything else. There's 3 college football games. They all suck. I'm watching the Yankees tonight. The rum will be flowing. I have no time for a loss. I'm not going to put up with a loss. I'm not having it.
Not having it at all. And look, we're going to talk, of course, about the Mets when we come back at the top of the hour. We said this about the Mets. We said this about the Mets yesterday. I would have found it very difficult for the Mets to win 4 out of 5 against the Dodgers if they lost that second game. And I think you could say the same thing about Cleveland. They lose tonight. Beating the Yankees 4 out of 5 is a very big chore for them. So this is as must-win as it gets for the Guardians here in Yankee Stadium tonight. I do think the Yankees get it done, Scotty. Now, there is a couple guys who have hit Cole. I always give you these. Ramirez, 12 for 34 with 2 homers. Naylor, 6 for 25 with 3 homers. So the two big bats on Cleveland have hit Cole in the past. The Yankees really haven't seen Bibby. Just a couple of at-bats scattered across. So, fresh arm, man. Could Judge get going tonight? Like, could Judge actually get a hold of one and send the and just tear the cover, turn the roof off of that place?
I mean, can you just do something, bro?